This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
You know, I think that's a really important part of team building, not only reflecting on yourself, but reflecting on the others around you and how you can continue to collaborate and interact with them.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello and welcome to the Team Builders Podcast, where we explore the art and science of building high-performing teams. I am joined today, as always, by my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are you both?
Brilliant. Thanks for having us here, Jonathan. It's a lovely place you've got here.
Enjoying my Costa cup of tea today, Jonathan, with you boys, as per usual.
Nice. So listen, gents, today I was keen to discuss team attributes, character, behaviour, basically what drives the development of personal skills and how that really impacts on high-performing teams. I've got some notes here. Skills, it says, it might get you in the door, but it's our attributes, it's the qualities of things like resilience, adaptability, grit, that determine how we show up when things get tough in the workplace. I'm really keen today to dive into why attributes matter, how we recognise them as managers or leaders within our businesses, and ways that teams can work together to develop those essential qualities to make a stronger, more adaptable workforce, I guess. So just to jump right into it, always keen to think about the difference between skills, character, but also behaviour and how we can, you know, impact on our own behaviours in the workplace. So, Jerry, I might come to you first of all. What do you think in terms of attributes for high-performing teams? What would you consider some of the most valuable attributes that you'd be looking for within your individuals?
But what I would say on the off is not one person has everything. So we need different contributions and different attributes from different people. And also to maybe double that down, you can have and use one at one time and then bring another one up another time, rather than thinking you're the all-rounded superhero of the team. So to pick out a couple that I think would be desirable, I would maybe start with, you know, being empathetic. That attribute allows you to take some time to listen to what's being said, see it from different angles, and then perhaps make your choice on where you want to move in with it. And then to counter that too, it is good to be dynamic, aggressive in approach, not necessarily in how you go about it, but, you know, in that feeling of we need to get this down, get this done. I always kind of, being in the business we're in, I always reflect back to Belbin in those instances and see which ones are needed in the time and which ones are not, because you can't be all things for all people.
You know, again, I think what we were looking and thinking about discussing today was how people that come to the party, come to their business with their particular character traits or attributes, how businesses and managers within those businesses can help grow them, develop them, you know, probably bring them on for the benefit of themselves and the team as a whole. Is that something that you see that we might be able to encourage within high-performing teams?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess some of the impact and why it's so important is they can clash at wrong and right times. So if you have somebody who's really meticulous, crossing the T's for detail, and you've got somebody who's perhaps powerful, pushing, what we would call in Belgium like a shaper perhaps, somebody who wants to just get action, action, action. It's good that they can recognise each other and one can use the other. So you can lean on the person who's crossing the T's, leave them to do that job while you focus on pushing the project and then check back in and vice versa. That'll bring a true success rate for that team more than the person who's trying to push the project going, oh, come on, like, just do it, but not allowing that person to do their job, because it's in that person. It is their attribute to be that specific and be that direct. Not that the person who's pushing the project isn't, it's just the priority in that time, I think.
So with any company, they're looking for alignment with their employees. So they are looking at common things like honesty, loyalty, generosity, ambition and integrity. And all the companies I think we work with always try and strive towards integrity, which is not just honesty is saying what you're going to do, integrity is doing it when no one's watching. And we always try to play out our events and our games and our challenges with a high degree of integrity. Every event and every activity we do always has a shortcut, but there's no learning from that. And without any learning, then there's no progression. And I think all the companies we work with, both in the UK and abroad, always list integrity as one of their core values so that their success isn't just short-term and a quick win for the sake of it. It's a long-term process. And those are why we work with some of the best winning teams in the world.
So are there any specific programs or products that you've been working with lately with customers that perhaps really focus on a particular element of individuals' attributes, skills, characters that they want to develop? Things like perhaps you mentioned being dynamic, things like being, you know, collaborative across the board.
Yeah, generally on a smaller scale because you're, you know, drilling right down. But there was a pharmaceutical company quite recently and their remit for their meeting was to try and see where each person fitted into the puzzle. It was 25 different managers for all over the country, and some came from Italy as well. And they generally don't meet often, funny enough, because they run their own teams. But each had different experiences in their own teams, and they came to share that. So we did an experience called Situation Room, which is a live situation, and it's done by time. So you can't just stop the experience and say, OK, let's talk about it. Information comes at you all of the time. So they have to be able to split their team up, absorb the information, but in the same hand, take action, which I think is like the most real thing you can get in business. Because all of a sudden you get a call, you guess something happened. You have to be able to respond to it, but yet not stop the business, kind of keep going. So I think that was a great example of it. And then at the end, they did a self-reflection on it, which again, is only in probably 20% of our programs that we would carry out, but they wanted to look back at it and comment on how they performed in it with a bit more scrutiny rather than just saying, yeah, we did well. And I think that made people look deeper into their reason and why they behaved as they did in that moment, and should they have behaved differently or the same as they could. So I felt that was a really good experience to be part of, and definitely pushed myself into trying to help facilitate that without preaching.
Yes.
Because sometimes you think, you know, you see it happening in front of you and they're in it, so they don't see it. So having the reflection time afterwards, you were able to say, why did this happen? Would we do it a different way? I think that was a great one.
We talked a little bit and touched on behaviours in particular at the start of the episode, and chatting about Belbin and those kind of products, human resource tools that focus on those. Obviously, we get the pleasure of working with some of the best high-performing teams across companies across the country. Are there any particular behaviours that you see that you really hope to exemplify, you know, as leaders within our own business, you know, and things that you see from other businesses or other personnel within those teams that you think, yeah, that guy's a winner, or that's how it's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera?
I think as a company, we learn as much from our events and our clients as they do from us. And I do reflect, a few years ago, we were doing an event, and one of the teams of a group of 10 different teams tried to hack the system. And during the event, at the start of the event, I panicked because I thought everyone's going to go with that flow. Everyone's going to try and hack it, shortcut it, and get to the easiest solution. But amazingly, everyone else rejected that offering and played full out with integrity, and one team didn't. And when we summed it up at the end of the session, it was that team that became isolated. No one wanted to go down that way. Everyone wanted to play full out, learn from it, and apply themselves on the most diligent way possible. So I learned a lot from that. And also I think the client learned a lot from it as well. Certainly you can hack the system, and certainly you can take a shortcut, but there's no learning process in there. And you're not playing full out, and you're not committing yourself to getting the best out of yourself and applying your own learnings to your own life and your own business success as well. And that was a globally successful company. And I think they understood and they knew playing the long game and playing it with, as I say, integrity, and playing it in the best possible way was right for them going forwards.
Personally speaking, you need to be aware of your behaviour. And I don't think many of the experiences that we do with our clients are always aware of their behaviour. So one thing that I have learned from watching what we do and trying to bring that back into our business, and I have to say, first of all, for those that are listening, I'm not overly very good at it, but I'm very aware of it. And that's maybe, I spend a lot of my time in startup mode, business, boom, 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 what's next, fix, sort. My patience probably doesn't show a lot. And I think when people come to our events, they're in their own modes. So, you know, for me to speak about my mode, that's what my mode feels like to everything that I come to. So I'm very much attack mode like that. With the experience that we have, and also with the knowledge that we have as people, we can show that you can shift that behavior or, in that moment to help the team more. And by doing what we do when we put on our experiences, like perhaps Beat the Box or Situation Room I mentioned earlier, it puts people in the place that you can talk about it and point it out and not feel too threatening. And because when it happens at the workplace, from my experience, and it's pointed out to me, you get defensive, and then you find it hard to switch because you think, no, this is me. And the minute fight or flight comes, you go straight into you mode. But by working with teams more and with a team that are in this space, if you like, and not used to that, when it's pointed out and they see their colleague in that mode and it's explained to them, like a little more simple than I did it, I suppose, but then they can actually appreciate what that person's bringing to the table and then use it to their advantage. Because if you have people who have different behavioural strengths in your team, that can get you a lot further than just you. And I personally experienced that through our work. And Stephen and yourself, I have experienced that, and I've experienced yours. And that's why Insights is such a successful program for those probably are not aware of Insights. It allows you to understand who you are, what makes you up, what behaviours you choose to be today, and you tell everybody.
I get where you're coming from as well. The environment that we provide is a safe one to explore those behaviours or those things that I guess people can see as both strengths and potentially sometimes weaknesses or deficiencies in your behaviour for a particular stage of the project or place that you're in with your business. And, you know, as you mentioned there, it's the ability to be able to reflect on those in a gamified business simulation environment that we provide that allows those individuals to then think, okay, maybe I should be a bit more mindful of that when I'm back in the workplace. You know, I think that's a really, really key point. And
you mentioned, it's a free lesson almost.
Yeah. And you mentioned Insights as another human resource tool. For me, I think those all those tools, not only about reflecting on yourself, but knowing more about the people that you do work with and understanding what they bring to the party and how they like to be spoken with and communicated to. And, you know, I think that's a really important part of team building, not only reflecting on yourself, but reflecting on the others around you and how you can continue to collaborate and interact with them.
Yeah, because in your story, Stephen, you mentioned that person that didn't want, like, I wonder what he felt when you mentioned.
I think he didn't feel part of the team, or they didn't feel part of the team, and I think they felt they shortchanged themselves. Short-term gain for long-term pain, because they isolated themselves with the direction of the team. And I think the reason for our success, part of it's in the clue is part of it in our name, Team Challenge Company. There is a challenge in there. And with building better teams, the clients that come to us are already a good team, because they can afford us, they can afford the venue, they can afford time away from the coal face, and they can be better. But that's not about us telling them how to run their business. They're already very good at doing that, whether it's selling cheese, selling oil and gas, selling tires, selling money. What we can help them do in an experiential environment is learn a little bit more themselves and how they can contribute back into their team's success in a small but measurable way. And some of that is, as you've said, Jerry, listening, maybe being more open and honest about situations, so that as a group, they understand that the competition isn't in the room between operations and sales and marketing. The competition is out with the building. It's other competitors, and they have to take every opportunity to be more diligent about their own input into the company so they produce better results for themselves and their teammates.
Gents, thanks so much. Really enjoyed the conversation today. I think, you know, focusing on the elements of what you bring to the party and how our services can help people develop those skills, develop those attributes, and let them have an environment to focus on their behaviours and what they can bring back into the workplace is a big thing and a big positive of what a team building day or session or, you know, series can really help individuals focus on that high performance and getting towards creating a high performing team. So thanks for all your input. It's been really great to have you both today. Enjoy the rest of it.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Stephen, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Good man. And for anybody that is listening and would like to check out some more of our episodes, you can check that out on our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk, and how perhaps Team Challenge Company can help you work and focus on becoming a high performing team. But for now, for myself, Jonathan, Jerry, and Stephen, it's been a pleasure being here, and we'll catch you all next time on the Team Builders Podcast. Thank you.